You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The idea of economic growth and societies striving to become more and more affluent has often been seen as the best way to improve everyone's health and well-being. But that idea has its limits. Research by two British epidemiologists has found a strong pattern of correlations between economic inequality, the gap between rich and poor, and outcomes in health and social measures, from infant mortality to the rate of violence. Across a broad range of indicators, more equal societies like Japan and Scandinavian countries have better overall health and social well-being, and almost always the UK, the US, and Portugal show poorer results. Dr. Kate Pickett is a professor of epidemiology at the University of York in Britain. She's the co-author with Richard Wilkinson of The Spirit Level, Why Greater Equality Makes Society Stronger. And she joins me this morning from her home in Yorkshire. Good morning, Kate. It's wonderful to have you on our program.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, you use an impressive amount of data to substantiate your results across many different social indicators. How did you go about qualifying and analyzing that data that led to your conclusions?
Well, we've been interested in the effect of inequality on health for a long time, and it became increasingly clear that if inequality affects health through the way it makes people feel, then it was quite likely that it was affecting lots of other problems as well. So we started to look for internationally comparable data from really reputable sources so that we could compare different societies at different levels of inequality in relation to all of these different outcomes. So we take data from sources like the World Health Organization for levels of mental illness, or the Program on International Student Assessment for educational levels. And then we correlate how countries are doing with their level of income inequality.
What do you use as a measure of inequality?
For the different countries we look at, we're looking at the difference between the incomes of the top 20% of the population and the bottom 20%. So the measure we use just asks how much more income do the top fifth have compared to the bottom fifth. And in the most equal countries that we're looking at, like Japan and the Nordic countries, the richest fifth have incomes that are about 3.5 to 4 times those of the poorest fifth. And in the more unequal countries that we're looking at, like the USA and the UK, it's around 7 to 8.5 times. Canada actually comes in about the middle.
Wow. What range of social and health problems did you find were correlated with income inequality?
Well, actually, the number's vast, and it's been growing even since we published our book. So we find that health is worse in more unequal countries. That's both life expectancy, infant mortality, mental illness, and levels of obesity. We find educational outcomes are worse, and things like social mobility, the number of teenage girls who have babies each year. Also, things like levels of violent crime, levels of imprisonment, and levels of social cohesion, trust among people. So that's just a sample to start with.
Let's look at a few of these. Can you talk about a few of these areas that focus on health indicators like life expectancy? What did you see there?
People in more equal societies live longer than those in more unequal ones. I mean, life expectancy has been improving all over the world for a long, long time. So we do, with every decade that passes, see an increase in life expectancy. But clearly that's been slower in more unequal countries than it has in the more equal ones. And interestingly, since we wrote the book, other researchers have published a study of the U.S. states, and they showed that in the states where income inequality grew the most over the past couple of decades, life expectancy increases were the smallest. So So that's a sort of another reinforcing piece of evidence.
Now, I know saw some slides that you produced, which are basically these sort of scatter graphs that you know, show on one axis income inequality, and on another axis some of these indicators of health. One of the things that I think was so stunning was that you just kept seeing that sort of same pattern repeated over and over and over again in all of these different dimensions.
That's right. I think that was really surprising to us, so that if a country does well on one of these indicators, it does tend to do well on all of them. I mean, it's not a perfect correlation each time, and there are some societies that do a bit better than you would expect on certain outcomes. But the consistency of the pattern is remarkable, so that if a country has a higher rate of infant mortality, it tends to also have a higher rate of imprisonment and a higher rate of kids dropping out of high school, that sort of thing. So the consistency was impressive, but we also repeated everything, all of our analyses, for the 50 US states, and we found exactly the same pattern, that it's the more unequal states that have more health and social problems than the more equal ones. And that tells us something very important. It tells us that it's not something peculiar or particular about the cultures of the different countries we're looking at, but that it does seem to be the level of inequality that matters.
How do you explain the connection between inequality and increased social problems and poorer health outcomes?
It's quite straightforward, really. All of the problems that we're looking at have what epidemiologists call social gradients. That means there are more of them at the bottom of society and fewer at the top, but these are gradients. So the problems don't suddenly become much worse below a particular threshold. There's a sort of a slope. And so if we think about life expectancy, for instance, the poorest people in society, those with the least education or who live in the most deprived neighborhoods, will have the lowest life expectancy. But even close to the top, those who are just a little bit less educated than those at the top or have a little bit less income, they will also have a slightly reduced life expectancy compared to those at the top. And so all of these problems have these social gradients. So I think really all we're showing is that when the social hierarchy gets steeper, if you think of it as a sort of a ladder, when the ladder gets steeper and the rungs get further apart, then all of these problems get worse, probably because stress is increased for more people in society, status anxiety becomes more common, and social status matters more in more hierarchical societies.
So, in fact, one of the things that you were finding is that it's not just the people at the bottom of the economic ladder that do poorly, but basically everyone does more poorly in unequal societies.
That's right. So if you and I had the same income or education, living in the UK, I'm more likely to experience problems than you are living in Canada, and you would be more likely to experience more problems than someone of the same education or income level living perhaps in one of the Scandinavian countries.
Kate, I think one of the interesting things that I found was that these weren't just tiny little differences that you were finding from the sort of bottom of the scale with unequal societies to top ones, but they were like some of them were quite four times as you know many of some kind of social problem. Could you talk a little bit about that, about the
scale?
Yes,
that's right. Some of the problems, the scale of the differences are large. I mean, if you look at something like life expectancy, they sound quite subtle. You know, there might be half a year's longer life expectancy in one country compared to another. But for some of the others, the differences are much larger. If we look at mental illness in the more equal countries, fewer than 1 in 10 adults have had some kind of mental illness in the previous year, whereas in the most unequal countries like the UK, it's 23% of us, and more than a quarter in the USA. So very, very large differences there. And things like the teenage birth rate, about sixfold differences between the most equal and the most unequal countries, 12-fold differences for rates of imprisonment. And if you compare homicide rates in U.S. states and Canadian provinces, there's a 10-fold difference between the most equal Canadian province and the most unequal U.S. state.
Those are really, to me, kind of stunning numbers. And I know one of the other things that really impressed me, you talked about the rate of incarceration going up in countries that are unequal, but yet this was unrelated to the crime rate.
It's very loosely related to the crime rate. It's certainly not explained very well by changes in crime rates. It does seem to be much more to do with a harsher attitude, more punitive attitude in society towards those who, you know, come into contact with the criminal justice system. So we have very high rates of imprisonment in the more unequal countries because they're more likely to send people to prison for relatively minor offences, and they're more likely to send them away for longer. And since we published the book, we've actually found that the age at which children are considered to be criminally responsible, the age at which they're treated as adults, in effect, by the courts, that's actually correlated with income inequality as well. And so you have a lower age of criminal responsibility in more unequal countries.
I'm interested to hear from you what kind of responses you've been getting to your book, because I imagine that, you know, sort of in the governments that be, the powers that be, that this is not very popular statistics to sort of bring forward.
It's much more popular than we might expect, actually. We've been very, very pleased with the reaction in Britain across the mainstream political spectrum. And so both David Cameron, our new Prime Minister, and the new Labour opposition leader, Ed Miliband, have spoken positively about our work in public. So I think sort of across the centre, right, centre, left, there is a real acceptance in the UK that our levels of inequality have got too big and that they are damaging society. It's a less popular message at the political extremes. The very far left think that we are not radical enough in pointing out these relationships, and the very far right are very unhappy with them because I think they think what we're suggesting is all to do with increasing taxes and redistribution, which it isn't. There are lots of different ways that societies can become more equal, and they don't necessarily need to involve higher taxation. But generally, the response has been really positive. And apart from politicians, the public response has been hugely positive. Richard, my co-author, and I have done, I think we must be getting on close to 400 talks, actually, since the book was published, to really different groups of people, civil servants, politicians, old folks' homes, political parties, church groups, and in many, many different countries as well. And there seems to be a real thirst for what we're saying. It's as if what we're showing with statistics and data simply confirms what an awful lot of us feel to be true, that high levels of inequality are damaging to our societies.
How can people use your results to promote better social health and social outcomes through, you know, the kind of structural changes it would require to create more equal societies?
I think the first challenge is education. In most countries, most people actually would favor a more equal society when they're when they're shown the distribution of incomes in society, they think that's wrong. They think they would like to see things be more equal. But they do tend to underestimate exactly how unequal the society they live in is. So I think there's a huge education job first. And then I think we simply need to be bringing these data, these facts, to the attention of policymakers and politicians and encouraging them to think about ways in which to improve greater equality, and to recognize that actually all of the problems that we are examining in our book cost an awful lot to society at the moment. We spend a lot of money trying to fix these problems, often quite ineffectively. And so it would be much more sensible if we spent time and effort thinking about how to prevent them through structural changes.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you this morning, Kate. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
I've been speaking with Dr. Kate Pickett. She's an epidemiologist and the author with Richard Wilkinson of The Spirit Level, Why Greater Equality Makes Society Stronger. And she's professor at the University of York in Britain.